Chapter 4. Planning Vengeance. On reaching his room, he broke down entirely and became very upset. These Americans were terrible. The twins and Mrs. Otis were naturally extremely annoying. But what really upset him most was that he had been unable to wear the suit of armor in the hall. He had hoped that even modern Americans would be terrified by the sight of a ghost in armor. Besides, it was his own suit. He had worn it with great success at the Kenilworth tournament, and the Queen herself had told him how much she liked it. Yet when he had put it on, he had been completely overpowered by the weight of it. He had fallen heavily on the stone floor, severely hurting both his knees and bruising part of his right hand. For some days after this, he was extremely ill. He hardly left his room at all, except to keep the bloodstain in proper repair. However, by taking great care of himself, he recovered. He soon resolved to make a third attempt to frighten the minister and his family. He selected that Friday, the 17th of August, for his appearance and spent most of that day looking over his wardrobe. He ultimately decided in favor of a robe with ruffles at the wrists and neck and a rusty dagger. Toward evening, a violent storm began, and the wind was so strong that all the windows and doors in the old house shook. In fact, it was just such weather that he loved. He had a solid plan of action. He would make his way quietly to Washington Otis's room, whisper at him from the foot of the bed, and stab himself three times in the throat to the sound of low music. He was upset with Washington, being aware that it was he who was in the habit of removing the famous Canterville bloodstain. After reducing the youth to a condition of terror, he would then proceed to the room occupied by the minister and his wife. There he would place a hand on Mrs. Otis's forehead while he whispered into her trembling husband's ear the awful secrets of the graveyard. With regard to little Virginia, he had not quite made up his mind. She had never insulted him in any way, and she was pretty and gentle. A few low groans from the wardrobe, he thought, would be more than sufficient. Or if that failed to wake her, he might scratch at the window with his fingernails. As for the twins, he was quite determined to teach them a lesson. The first thing to be done was to sit upon their chests so as to produce a terrifying nightmare. Then, as their beds were quite close to each other, he would stand between them in the form of a green, icy, cold dead man. Once they had become paralyzed with fear, he would throw off his robe, and he would walk around the room with white bones and one rolling eye. This had, on more than one occasion, produced a great effect in the past. It was some of his best work.